preach word this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And the word of God reads as follows. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'm sure that most of us understand that history tells us that the first Thanksgiving meal in the United States here was celebrated in 1621 at the Plymouth Colony between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. However, after they celebrated that meal, beloved, that meal did not become an annual feast. That was more of a one-off occasion as they celebrated their first successful harvest in the new land. In fact, it wasn't until some 240 years later, actually, that President Abraham Lincoln, in 1963, in the midst of the Civil War that was dividing the country, proclaimed that the last Thursday of November would be set aside as an annual day of thanksgiving for the country. In acknowledging, he says, the gracious gifts of the Most High God, Lincoln said, "It had seemed to me fit and proper that they, these gifts, should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the American people. I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in heaven." And ever since that day, beloved, since that year, Thanksgiving has become one of the most blessed and beloved holidays on our national calendar. And yet, for the Christian, for those who know the Lord and those who trust in His Word, there is no need for a national proclamation. There should be no need for a special holiday in order to give thanks. The Christian does not need a man-made decree in order for him or her to be reminded of the good and gracious gifts of a Most High God. Because, beloved, giving thanks is what we do. Thanksgiving is not a holiday in the church. Thanksgiving is every day. The Christian life, beloved, is marked out by a thankful heart. It is not simply what we do, but it is who we are. The Bible says over and over again, Psalms 106, verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalms 118, verse 1, Psalms 136, verse 1, and many others remind us in no uncertain terms, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And His mercy, His loving kindness, His steadfast love endures forever. This is the attitude of the Christian. God's people give thanks. And why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God is good. I mean, if there's anything this morning that I can assert with a surety concerning the character of God, and I know that I cannot be refuted, it is this morning that God is good. If there is one characteristic about God that the Bible is seeking to assert over and over again, that it just slams you in the face whenever you read the pages of Scripture, it is this, that God is good. This is the testimony of His people. We serve a benevolent God. And that's why you ought to give thanks. You ought to give thanks because your God is good. But you not only give thanks because He is good, you give thanks because He doesn't change. He's not good today and you're wondering whether or not He's going to be good tomorrow. We give thanks because our God is good, that He changes not. And the same God you call on today is going to be the same God that you call on tomorrow. And the same God who has taken care of you today is the same God who will take care of you tomorrow. The God we serve is a good God, and that goodness is immutable. He doesn't change, beloved. And that is so important to know. Because if there is one characteristic about human beings, it is this: we change. If there is anything certain in this world, it is this: that tomorrow will be different from today. And if all hope I had was in the fickleness of the human beings, or in the fickleness of our society and its willingness to change and turn everything upside down and on its head, then I would be a person most miserable and not having anything for which to give thanks. But my thanks is not in your fickleness. My thanks is in a God who is good and He changes not. We don't just give thanks because God is good. We don't just give thanks because He is unchanging. But this text tells us too that we give thanks because His love endures forever. He ain't falling in love today and falling out of love tomorrow. Those upon whom He has set His love, the Bible says that He has loved you with an everlasting love. His love endures forever, beloved. This is why we give thanks. God is good. God doesn't change. His love endures forever. This is why Thanksgiving is our posture, particularly when we enter into worship. When we come into the worship of God, we come worshiping He who is good, He who doesn't change, He whose love endures forever. And that's why, beloved, the posture of worship is thanksgiving. That's how you enter the courts, the psalmist says in Psalm 100 and verse 4. You enter the doors. You enter the courts. Giving thanks. And that thanks overflows with praise. You enter the doors with thanksgiving. And you come into His courts. And you praise. And that should be, beloved, the progress of the Christian life. That should be the progress of our daily walk. We get up in the morning giving thanks. And that thanks develops and flowers and blossoms into a praise. This is why when we come to church, we pray thanksgiving prayers. In our prayers, we give thanks to God for all that He is and all that He does. But not only do we pray with thanksgiving, we sing with thanksgiving. Our songs are full of what the marvelous works that God has done and how He is worthy of our giving Him praise. And we lift up our voices and we say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done." Not only do we pray with thanksgiving and we sing with thanksgiving, beloved, but we offer sacrifices and service with thanksgiving. We labor, ever thankful for the opportunities to do so. It's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He says, beloved, this is amazing and should be our attitude of gratitude as we enter into the service of our God. He says, "I thank Him who has given me strength." Who is the Him? Jesus Christ our Lord, because He judged me faithful and appointed me to His service. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for appointing you to the service that you are rendering Him, even the service that you are giving to others? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He's appointed me to greet people when they come to church in the morning. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to work the sound table so that people can hear clearly in the morning. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to sing. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to read the scriptures. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to speak the announcements. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to get the fellowship food together. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to wash the cars in the parking lot. Thank the Lord that He's appointed me to proclaim His word this morning. That He has given me strength and counted me faithful to serve Him this morning. Thank the Lord. This is the gratitude, the posture of the Christian. This is why the Bible reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 and Ephesians 5 and 20. But for the Christian, ungratefulness is not an option. Did you hear what I said? For the Christian, ungratefulness is not an option. We ought to be giving thanks at all times. We ought to be giving thanks in every situation. But why are we ungrateful, beloved? From whence comes this ungratefulness? Nothing, nothing, beloved. And I speak for myself, but I am sure I speak for everyone here. Nothing is more abhorrent in a person than when you witness ungratefulness. But while we are so astute in recognizing it in others, we are woefully unable to acknowledge it in ourselves. From whence comes this ungratefulness, beloved? Well, there's several reasons why people, or we, you, me, we are ungrateful. We get ungrateful because we think we deserve better. It's when you get ungrateful. Whatever has happened today, you for some reason believe that it should be better for you. For some reason, somehow, somebody has convinced you that God owes you something. And so we get ungrateful because we think we deserve more. Not only do we get ungrateful, we think we deserve more, but we get ungrateful when we look and long for what we don't have. There is a seed of discontent that begins to blossom in our lives as we look around and see the things that we don't have and long to have them, whether it's material, whether it's emotional, whether it's relational. And we become ungrateful. We become ungrateful when we devalue the grace and the mercy of God. When you get your mind and your heart off of who Christ is and what he has done, when you take grace lightly, when you take the mercy of God for granted, you and I become ungrateful. When we devalue the cross, when we look at Christ on the cross, and we don't think much of it, or we think light of it, or we quickly glance by it, when the mercy and the grace of God is not enough, then we become ungrateful. When his grace is not sufficient, we become ungrateful. Beloved, Christians, for the Christian, ungratefulness just is not an option. There, you could argue, nothing more unchristian than ingratitude. You could argue, beloved, that God desires nothing from you but that you and I would be thankful. That is all. You can make the case that that is all God requires this morning, is that you and I would acknowledge our need of him and thank him for being our God. I think that's what we find illustrated here in our text this morning in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. The importance of this thanksgiving, the importance of Christians being thankful is seen in this dramatic encounter that Jesus had with these 10 lepers on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus has now set his face for Jerusalem. Jesus has now intently directed all of his attention now to the cross, and he's on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. We see that on his way, Christ reminds us again of the goodness of God to this world. He reminds us, those who know the Lord and the Savior, on how we ought to respond to that goodness. There were several routes Jesus could have taken on that day, beloved. Several ways he could have gotten to Jerusalem. The Bible says he chose this one, where he would have to navigate the territories between Samaria and Galilee. Now you do understand that Jesus doesn't just pass by. Jesus doesn't have time to just be passing by. When Jesus comes to your home, beloved, when he comes to your heart, he doesn't just say, oh, I was just in the neighborhood. Jesus has every intention of acknowledging who he is and the need of every human being for him when he comes and he shows up. He doesn't just pass by, but he's going this way, beloved, because there is this colony of lepers made up of Jews and Samaritans. And he needs pass by there. And the Bible says that as he was passing through these 10 lepers there in this colony, they saw him, they beheld him, and they met Jesus. And with one voice, all together from a distance, as lepers, they cry out to Jesus and ask him, Master, have mercy, have pity upon us. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be healed of this terrible disease. It was a disease that carried much misery with it. We don't know the state, particularly of hearts of these men who cried out to Jesus. But isn't it interesting, one, that in the leprosy colony, there are Jews and Samaritans. Now in society, the Jews and the Samaritans would not mix. But somehow, misery has a way of breaking down barriers. Misery will do that, beloved. Misery not only breaks down barriers, but somebody has said that there are no atheists in foxholes. Because when times get hard and times get tough, beloved, all human beings understand that they got to call on somebody or something outside of themselves. And I have seen many and many times people get religion in prison. People get religious in hospitals. And so it was with these lepers. They see Jesus. They've heard of him. They've heard of his testimony. They know of his miracle working power as it's gone out throughout the land. And when they see Jesus, they've tried everything else that they possibly could. They say, Master, have mercy upon us. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus commands them to go. Go and show yourself to the priest. And with a word, the Bible says that on their way, they were healed. On their way, they were healed. And as they were making their way to the temple to show the priest, and all 10 were healed, the Bible says, one stopped in his tracks, turned around, and gave thanks. There is, if you want to say, beloved, here is one of the first Thanksgiving services. For on this day, we have a brother who exemplifies what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you give thanks. It means that you understand that you are not your own, but you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It means that every day you acknowledge, I am yours, Lord. I belong to you. It is you who have not only called me, it is you who have healed me, and I am yours. And this is what the Samaritan did. He turned and he reminded us that what the Christian life is first, it is the separated life. It is the separated life. It is the thankful life, and it is the separated life. It is distinct from others because it does what most don't do. In verse 15, then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. Turn back. Why? Because the thankful life, beloved, is different. It is different. It dares to be different. It is countercultural. It does what others don't want to do. It does what others won't think to do. It gives thanks. 9 go one way. 1 turns back. 9 run away. 1 stops in his tracks. 9 were captivated by the healing. And 1 was captivated by the healer. 9 assumed that they were worthy of being healed. And 1 knew that he was unworthy, stopped, turned around, and gave thanks. The other 9, beloved, they were excited. They were excited. They were making their way. Can you imagine? They didn't have mirrors. So they wouldn't have recognized it on themselves at first, but as they were going, they would have looked at each other. And one by one, they would have seen that all the others are being healed. And no doubt the excitement began to grow as they were making their way to the temple. You can imagine what was on their minds. They wanted to get to the temple as quickly as they could. Offer the sacrifices, let the priest absolve them from being unclean, and then, beloved, it is on. Things were about to get turned up. Finally, they were excited about their prospects for the night. You do understand that now, finally, beloved, they were going to be able to go to the club. Finally, they were going to be able to go and get in the game. They were going to make it to the game. They were going to go to school. They were going to go on a date. They were going to get married. They were preoccupied with what they could do with their newly healed bodies. But the one, beloved, was not so much preoccupied with the prospects of his new life as much as he was preoccupied with what he could now do for the Lord. Those who live for Christ, beloved, they dare to be different. They dare to be thankful. If you are a Christian this morning, it is the calling of every Christian living in this world to be different. To be different. It ain't easy. It ain't easy when nine are going this way and you have to stop and go the opposite direction. It is not easy when everybody is moving in unison and the power of the movement is marching in one direction and you know you must stop and move in the opposite direction. It is not easy, beloved, when all around you, this world and society we live, it's saying that it doesn't take all that to be faithful to Jesus. They asked Bill Gates if he believed in God. Bill Gates said, "There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning than sitting in a church." Oh, beloved, while Gates and others can find more useful things to do on the Lord's day, while the world may be able to find more useful things to do on the day that the Lord has made, while too many of us often find we think we have more useful things to do than to be in the company of the saints, I hear the psalmist say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Because I know how much I have to give thanks for. And there is nothing more important for me to do than to gather with the people of God and offer up a praise of thanksgiving. This is what this leper does, this Samaritan leper does. He separates himself from the others. Because the thankful life is a separated life, but the thankful life is also the praise-filled life. It's what it does, beloved. The heart filled with thanksgiving, it is going to usher forth in praise. It is inevitable. It comes just like the day follows the night. Notice in verse 16, it says, he turned back. But not only did he turn back, what did he do? Praising God with a loud voice. Praising God with a loud voice. And we like loud. We like loud because God likes loud. I know we don't like loud, but God likes loud. There was an unashamed and an unabashed, loud praise and worship of God. It was like the word there carries the idea that he had a megaphone. And he began to worship and praise God. And those who didn't give thanks, Those who were marching on, they no doubt heard his praise. They heard his worship, and it was loud. That's what people do. That's what thankful hearts do. This is what Christians should do, because Christians should be thankful. And that thanksgiving should be unabashed. That thanksgiving should be unashamed. When Jesus went into Jerusalem, when he finally did get to Jerusalem, the people began to stand around. And as he came into Jerusalem, they began to cry and sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And as the people were shouting this, the Pharisees went to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, you need to tell your disciples to quiet it down." And Jesus said, "I will do no such thing, for if they cease to praise, the rocks will cry out." That's what God's people do, beloved. When they give thanks, it is not just whispers in the corner. They give thanks. They give thanks. Praise and loud. And someone said, "I don't need no rocks praising God for me." And that's what this Samaritan did. I mean, he literally got on his 116. And he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. Now, you know, it is interesting to me that there's a lot of discussion these days about how much people should mention Jesus or God or the cross in their music and in their writings and their lives in general. Well, beloved, listen, I can't speak for everybody else. But if the Lord has actually done something for you, if he has actually been good, then I just don't know how you keep your mouth shut. Again, I can't speak for everybody, but as for me and my house, maybe he ain't done nothing for Beyonce. Maybe he ain't done nothing for Kanye West. Maybe he ain't done nothing for Ta-Nehisi Coates. I don't know. But when I think about the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me." I can't speak for everybody, but I join with this Samaritan, beloved. And I want a thankful heart that issues forth in praise. And I want others to know what the Lord has done for me. That's what Christians do. They're unashamed of their Savior. Look, thankful life, beloved, is the separated life. It is the praise-filled life. But you know the main reason that is the thankful life. You know the main reason? It's because it's the saved life. It's the saved life. Now, beloved, I don't think there's anything more important here than this. Why does this Samaritan turn back and the others don't? Is it because he's smarter? Maybe, but I doubt it. Is it because, beloved, he noticed a sign that said turn back and the others were so fast they ran right by it? I doubt it. Is it because suddenly he realized that he was of the right nationality and the right lineage and the right race and therefore he must turn back? No, that was not it at all. The only real difference between the Samaritan and the rest of those lepers is that while all 10 had their bodies changed, the Samaritan had his heart changed. His heart had been changed. And since he had a different heart, it showed. It showed. Notice what it says. Verse 19. Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole, complete." Jesus here in this text seems just a bit taken back by these other lepers. For he says, when this man turns around and begins to praise God, Jesus says, "Wait a minute, I thought there were 10 of you. I thought there were 10 of you that were clean. Where are the other 9? Beloved, there is not a person in this world this morning who shouldn't be somewhere worshiping God. The world should be filled with worshipers. You should look around in this place this morning, and whether it is family or friends, you should look around and say like Jesus, "Where are the others? God has been good to you. God has been merciful to you, beloved. If you have any healing anywhere, it is a gift from God. If you experience one day of grace and mercy in this world, it is the gift of God. If you are not consumed because of the wretchedness of your own heart, it is because of the grace of God. If you experience one moment of love and joy and peace and compassion in this world, it is because God has restrained his wrath, and he is being loving and merciful to you this morning. And since that is the case, where are they? Where are they? You do understand, beloved. God does a lot of good for those who don't know him. Every time somebody walks out of an operation, whether they know it or not, God has been merciful. Every time somebody professes to be in love in this world and dedicate themselves to each other, whether they know it or not, God has been good. Every time a person gets up in the morning and goes to a job and they're able to put food on the table and a roof over their head, God has been good. Love it. But you do understand that just because God has healed your body doesn't mean that you say, just because he has kept your marriage together doesn't mean that you are saved, beloved. Just because there is food on your table and clothes on your back does not mean that you are saved. Because salvation, contrary to what some believe, salvation is not health. Salvation is not wealth. Salvation is not relationship. Salvation is eternal life. Salvation is the soul that has been made whole. It is the soul that has been made whole that ought to every day give thanks to God. If you're saved this morning, this should make you want to praise God even more. This is where the intensity of praise comes from, beloved. This is where the passion really comes from. It doesn't come because you got a paycheck this week. It comes from the reality that you are saved. That the cross of Christ was for you. That Christ died and Christ was buried and that Christ rose again. That your sins are forgiven. That you are not going to hell, but that heaven will be your eternal home. This is why, beloved, I don't care what happens, the Christian can say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Good times, bad times, it is never a worse time or bad time to give thanks to God. All the time. Someone said, so long as we are the receivers of mercy, we must be giving God thanks. That's why the Bible says, Christian, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. Good times, bad times, up times, down times. Give thanks in all things. Beloved, the world wants to thank Him for the sunshine. The Christian knows that he can thank him for the rain. The world wants to thank him for the pleasures. But the Christian knows that she can thank him for the pain. Why, beloved? Because the Christian knows that it is only in the pain that you really acknowledge the sufficiency of Him. Listen, beloved, I was thinking this week. Everybody knows how to be a Christian when things are well. Everybody knows how to be a Christian when everything is good. The true test of the Christian is when things turn south and they still are giving praise and thanks to God. They are still acknowledging Him as their Lord and Savior. They are still saying, I will give Him thanks anyhow. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When they pray, and it seems that heaven is silent, until the word comes and says, no, but my grace is sufficient. The Christian then says, well, if you are made stronger in my weakness, then I will glory in my weakness. Give thanks to the Lord this morning, for He is good and His mercy His steadfast love, beloved, endures forever. You and I are never more Christian than when we are given thanks. Let every day be thanksgiving. In your home, in our home, in our heart.